The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
All right, this is the WNBA's 26th season, and Saturday on ESPN and the app, tip-off weekend continues with our featured matchup, the reigning MVP, Jonquel Jones, leading the Sun, against Sabrina Ionescu and the Liberty. Our coverage begins at 6 Eastern. Boy, are we jammed today as we continue live from the Seaport, brought to you by Chase. Uncle Seth, no relation, is here. Chris Canty is here. Huge crew we have together on an incredibly busy morning. Bianna, let's roll it. We have a lot to get to here as hour number two begins. We're going to get up and we're going to turn up the heat on Harden after the Sixers struggle last night. We pick it up here with James Harden looking at and having a tough time early in their game against the Heat last night. This is early game two. Action, the Heat, and they were playing all kinds of defense on James Harden, who would struggle again. He had 20 points on 6 of 15 shooting. To the third quarter we go. Sixers are down by 8. And Seth, you know what happens when we get a long rebound?
Yeah, contested 3-point shot, long rebound, run out. Jimmy Butler, 22, 12 assists, and terrific defensively.
Butler had 22. Final minute of the third. Sixers trailing by 13. Right now, their best player is Tyrese Maxey.
Plays with great explosiveness, great joy, packs, plays downhill.
He had 34. Sixers within 11 after 3, but just too much from Miami. Tyler Hero throwing it up. Bam Adebayo throwing it down. He had 23. And then it's Adebayo this time on the wing for Jimmy Butler. He'd take a 2-0 lead. The Sixers have never come from Love 2 to win a series, but wait, it gets worse. Here's Doc Rivers after on the state of Joel Embiid.
I really don't know. I honestly, we talked yesterday, we talked today. You know, new generation FaceTime. I don't know why he FaceTime, but he looked good as far as talking. But there's no he's got so many steps to go through. I don't think he's cleared any of them right now. So we just have to wait and see.
Well, that just sounds terrible. And before we bring in the rest of our basketball crew here, give us a little bit of an indication of just how much they miss him right now.
They play 5-4 offensively, obviously, without Joel Embiid, but they're also playing 5-4 defensively. His ability to move his feet, defend. You're going to see a little play right here. You're going to see a dribble handoff with Bam, and then it's going to turn into another dribble handoff and a little bit of a kind of dribble ball screen handoff right here. Strus is going to come off of this screen right here and get downhill. But I want you to watch right here, DeAndre Jordan. All right, I want you to watch his inability to help and recover and protect the basket. Here's the handoff. Strus takes it. Now watch right there. All you've got to do, weak side defenders have got to get off. There's no doubt about it. But all you've got to do if you're Jordan is drop step and get between the ball and the basket. His inability to do that, Bam gets to the rim. No rim protection. 42 points in the paint. All right. But inability to protect the paint and contest shots. Same situation. Here's a little side ball screen. Now these offside defenders, they've got to do a better job of getting off the help right over here. But watch what happens coming off of this screen. Here's Jimmy Butler. Jimmy Butler is going to come off this screen. I want you to watch, once again, Jordan, right there. That's drop coverage. Are you kidding me? That's Jimmy Butler.
Yeah.
I mean, Jimmy Butler, the dude is an all-star. That's a foul shot with no one near you. Someone please get a hand. Someone give help. Jimmy Butler right there pulls up. He says, I can make that shot. All right? That's just the way it is. I made that shot in high school, junior high school, and grade school. I mean, their inability to protect the rim contest, very similar to Golden State's inability to protect the front of the rim and allow the ball to get in the lane for John Morant. Similar without
it. And so, again, the Golden State's doing it voluntarily because they're playing small, and that helps them on the other side. And in this case, it is being done involuntarily because of the injury to Embiid. Do I have Zach? And here we go. Okay, so, Vince Carter, let me come to you here. James Harden then becomes the answer to all of this, right? They got to play small. They got to do whatever they can do on the defensive end. And then they need James Harden to have a game where he puts the team on his back and carries them with one of those classic 40-point performances. Can he do it?
Well, let me start by saying, Seth, that was great there. And the one thing I also say is Tobias Harris was sticking to his defender like a little Velcro as well. Yeah. So he's not helping DeAndre Jordan in that situation either. I'll say that. But, yeah, James Harden, you know, has to find a way. He has to pull one big game out of him. If he can pull a big game out of him in game three, hopefully you can possibly get that MVP back in game four. So, yeah, they need to find a way. And I think just make the game easier for him. Maybe play him off the ball a little bit where he's on the second side, where he's now seeing one-on-one defenders and the help side defense is coming over late instead of having the ball in his hand and everybody is loading to him where he has to be one, two, and three guys, which he's not showing that he can do that right now. And let that guy Maxey kind of let him grow. He's been playing great, and like you guys have been saying, he is the best player on the floor right now for the 76ers.
He's the best player on the Sixers in the absence of Embiid, and that's a problem, Zach. I mean, that's not what we're supposed to be dealing with here. It's 12 consecutive playoff games now that Harden has not scored 25 points. Does he still have that in him? Does he have a 46-point night in him, which we used to see somewhat routinely to carry this team to a win that otherwise their season is basically over?
Yeah, I mean, he played 41 minutes last night. Even 2 years ago, James Harden playing 41 minutes, you were going to get 35 and 12 and 17 free throws, 20 and 9 on 6 of 15 shooting in 41 minutes. That's like a ho-hum production for James Harden. And Vince, James Harden off the ball sounds like a great idea in theory. It sounded like a great idea in theory like 10 years ago. It never happens. He's never shown much interest in playing off the ball. He has a weird aversion to taking catch and shoot threes. All he wants to do is take off the dribble threes. I just think it's too late in the season to sort of make that kind of transition. It does sound like a good idea. And without Embiid, Seth nailed the dilemma the Sixers are facing. They need defense from their centers. They're not getting any of it. So they need to go small and go all in on shooting, and those lineups won't defend well enough for them to win. And by the way, if Matisse Thybulle is in them, they won't even have that much shooting in them. They're just drawing dead without Embiid because James Harden is not going to give you 35 and 15, whether it's conditioning, whether it's hamstring, whether it's age. He's just not that guy right now, and the Sixers just got to hope and pray he's that guy next season.
Maybe it's all of those. But, Vince, let me then come back to you on that. You're picking your poison here, right? Because I said to Seth earlier, let them go small. He said you can't go small because you're taking the ball out of the basket on every defensive possession and you never get you never get out in the transition that you're looking for. So pick your poison, Vince. What are you doing now if you're Doc, if you don't have Embiid in game three?
You have to sprinkle a little bit of both, in my opinion. And I know you said pick your poison, but it's kind of hard to do. I think right now, because you're not hitting shots, you can't play small either. But I think if anything right now, play faster. So small ball is your best bet. Play a little zone, junk the game up, maybe full court press, like some college type style defenses as far as just pressuring the ball and speed up and see how many easy layups and baskets you can get. And then if you need to dial it back, then you can play some of your bigger guys.
All right, Seth, so coach this thing up for me here because, you know, we can all sit here and say, oh, they're done. They have no chance. Without Embiid, they're going to get swept. They're obviously not going to take that approach, and they have no time to put anything together. They were in Miami last night. Game three is tomorrow night here on ESPN, by the way. So what are the adjustments that you make if you do not have Joel?
I think Vince made a good point. I think you got to change your defense. You got to find a way to get this Heat off balance. You got to find a way to get them off balance. I'd like more switching. I think all that drop coverage makes no sense. Obviously, he talked about Tobias Harris being Velcro, not getting off the help. Look, Harris is playing well. Tyrese Maxey's playing really, really well. But defensively, they've got to find a way to disrupt the rhythm of the Sixers. I think more switching, play some zone. And then I think I like the idea of actually Harden off the ball, not in terms of off the ball, but all right, put the ball in Max's hands. Let him use his speed. Let him use his quickness. Let him get a paint touch, kick it out, force a closeout, and now Harden can make a play. So can you switch that? Look, one thing about NBA players, I have so much respect for NBA players because their basketball IQs are off the charts. They have PhDs in the game of basketball. Guys make adjustments all the time. Now, how you sell it to him, if anyone could sell it to Harden, it would be Doc Rivers because of the credibility he has. But they've got to find a way because when the ball starts in his hands, every ball screen, even if they're man-to-man, every ball screen they set with Harden, basically all of a sudden the Heat are going 2-3 zone. And they're just keeping him in front, contested shots, and then blocking out and forcing a contested shot. So it's a hard hand.
Look, with James Harden, there's always been the downside, but the upside was so enormous that you were willing to live with it. If you don't have that, then it creates a lot of questions. All right, we'll come back to this one as we go. Meantime, I want to go to the other game from last night. Seth, let's take a look at Luka Doncic against the Suns. And I say it that way purposely because it basically is 1-on-5. Look at this set of moves.
This is ridiculous. This is Vince Carter without the hops. There's no doubt about it. He moves him. Vince would have dunked that thing, but I mean, that's just ridiculous, ridiculous footwork. And then if you go underneath this screen, he's just going to jump up. The late switch, he knocks down that three. But on that side of the floor, he was pretty good. On the other side of the floor, not so good, Greeny.
Luka had 35. He did everything he could. Mavs actually had the lead at the break, but too much from the Suns in the second half. Too much Devin Booker.
Yeah, too much Devin Booker, and then the fourth quarter, too much Chris Paul. And I thought the Suns did a great job of putting Luka in ball screens, getting Luka on Chris Paul, and Chris Paul absolutely tortured him off those switches. And he was just so good. Chris Paul's poise and patience and his ability to read the defense is absolutely, like, he's like a PhD. I mean, watch this. He gets the switch with Luka. This is a bad matchup right here.
Mm-hmm. He had 14 points in the fourth, 28 on the game for CP3. Meanwhile, Devin Booker had the big third quarter and then drills the three-pointer here to put it away. He would score 30. Odell loves it. Suns a 20-point win. They take a 2-0 series lead. Afterward, Jason Kidd, how about the rest of your team?
Yeah, he had a great game, but no one else showed. So, you know, we got to get other guys, shooting the ball better. We can't win with just him out there scoring 30 a night. Not this time of the year. And we're playing the best team in the league. And so we got to get other guys going.
Boy, does he ever need help. Look at these numbers. Luka Doncic is outscoring the rest of this Mavericks starting five and shooting 13% better from the floor. He's averaging 40. No other player is averaging or has broken 20 for the Mavericks in the series. They go back home game three tomorrow night here on ESPN. All right, coming up, did you hear what Stephen A. Smith said about the Lakers yesterday, what they should do? With LeBron, we'll get Jalen Rose in here for the reaction. You will not want to miss it. Also coming up, is it possible Baker Mayfield could end up coming back to Cleveland? It's not as far-fetched as it sounds. You'll hear it next. You're watching Get Up on ESPN. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. All right, we are back, and the game is called Teddy Set Go with Teddy Bruschi. I got questions. He's got answers. Teddy, would a return of Gronk mean Tampa Bay goes back to the Super Bowl?
It's not guaranteed that they're going back to the Super Bowl, but if Kia run, Greeny, yes. I mean, Gronkowski is a weapon that Tom Brady knows how to use. However, when would he come back? This is a player that does not need training camp, okay? So whenever Gronkowski wants to come back, Tampa Bay will welcome him and it'll make him a much better contender.
Next up is Green Bay. Can Aaron Rodgers get to the Super Bowl without a number one receiver?
I believe they can, and Aaron Rodgers is that type of quarterback, and I really think that this Christian Watson kid, Aaron Rodgers, can turn him into a Rookie of the Year candidate, offensive Rookie of the Year. That's how good Aaron Rodgers is. These quarterbacks, they're rare. The ones that can take the receivers or tight ends or backs that you have and still make a team into a championship contender.
Next up is Cleveland. Should Baker Mayfield still be a starting quarterback in the NFL?
I think he can be. I mean, this is a guy before the injury. He was helping Cleveland win football games. I still think he's capable to start. I don't know where it's going to be. Quarterbacks are starting to just come into this market to where it's hard to find a job. It may be Cleveland in the first half of the season if there is a Deshaun Watson suspension, but Baker Mayfield still has the ability to be a quality starter.
So that is fascinating to me. Let's bring the rest of the football crew in here. And Kimberly Martin, I'm starting with you because, A, you know the Browns better than anybody knows the Browns. And, B, you know the scenario here. Teddy's talking about the possibility that Deshaun Watson is suspended. I think the general belief is it is overwhelmingly likely that there will be a suspension for Watson, and it will be significant. So the idea that Baker Mayfield, who remains under contract, could wind up actually playing for the Browns again is not that far-fetched. How do you see it?
It is not that far-fetched. While it's unlikely, it's not far-fetched because, Greeny, as you laid out, the Deshaun Watson situation is technically still unresolved. They don't know if he's going to be suspended or for how long. They went into this process of doing their due diligence with the understanding, like all the other teams, that there could be a lengthy suspension, and all these teams were interested in Deshaun anyway. But to the point, to the Baker Mayfield of it all, listen, the reality is Baker's got to play. Baker's got one more year on this deal. He has to get on a field because he's not just playing for right now. He's playing for his NFL future. So the longer he sits on the sidelines, the worse it is for him from a marketing standpoint and a market standpoint, I should say. So he's got to get on the field. The Browns might need somebody if Deshaun does get suspended and they decide something happens with Jacoby Brissett. But will Baker's ego, will it allow him to go back in that locker room or go to practice and say, you know what, I'm okay not being the guy? Time will tell.
Well, I mean, look, I would throw one more thing into the mix, which is that his personality seems to be one of the things that gives other teams pause. If he refuses to go back and play for the team that's under contract because his feelings are hurt, that's not going to help that scenario either. Now, Chris Canty, when we brought this up earlier, you sort of discounted the idea that he can walk back in there or that they should want him to. How do you see it as a former player?
Baker Mayfield can't walk back into the Cleveland Browns locker room for the same reason as to why he doesn't have a starting job in the National Football League right now. And Greeny, you said his personality might be one of the things. I think his personality is the thing. It's not a question of the player that you're getting. Baker Mayfield is a top 20 quarterback in the National Football League by any metric, and he's got the QBR to prove it since he's come into the league. It's not about what he does on the field. It's about what he does to your locker room and how he presents himself within your organization. The post-game press conferences where he doesn't take accountability, people in his camp questioning the toughness of his teammates, the public feud with OBJ and Jarvis Landry for that matter, and that locker room being split thereafter. All of those things are factors when it comes to whether or not I want to bring Baker Mayfield in. So when we start looking at the landscape of the National Football League, Baker Mayfield has got more playoff wins than half the starting quarterbacks in the NFL. Mm-hmm. So you can't make the case that he has something to prove on the field. I think he's got something to prove as a teammate. And that's what brings into question his mortality as a starter in this league.
That's fair. So, Teddy, how does he fix that?
That's just the thing. And Chris, I agree with you with a lot of what you said. So how does Baker Mayfield fix that, okay? You go into the locker room and you show the league and you show all these other teams you can make the most out of a bad situation, okay? That's how you fix it. Yes, you come back in there and you play. So Baker Mayfield would throw a wrench into everything if he went into that locker room. Deshaun Watson more than likely has a suspension to serve. Is he more experienced in that offense than any other quarterback that they have right now? Absolutely. Okay, there are some bridges he has to mend. There's a piece of humble pie that he's got to eat, and that's what he has to do. He has to shift from taking everything personally and thinking to himself, listen, okay, the team doesn't want me on it anymore. Now it's about business. I need to put on this independent contractor hat and know that this is for me, what I need to show for my game, and what I need to show the league. So forget Cleveland, forget your teammates, all of that stuff for right now. It's about business. Baker Mayfield going in there and doing this would be good business.
That's a really good point. Kmart, put a ribbon on this for me. You know him far better than any of the rest of us sitting here do. Does that feel like a possibility?
It doesn't, but it should, because if I were Baker, I would walk in there. I would make it uncomfortable. I'd be like, you don't believe in me? Cool. This is business, like Teddy said. I would try to show that I can be the bigger person in moments. Baker has not done that in the past, but this is about his future beyond Cleveland. He's got to take whatever steps to show the rest of the NFL landscape that he has matured, has learned something, has humbled himself, and can be the leader that they need going forward.
This is the most interesting thing going on in the NFL right now. Everyone stay where we are. More football as we go. But I got to get back to the chase for the cup. Here we go. It's the Hurricanes and the Bruins. After a dominant game one victory, midway through the first, no score, and this one gets chippy. David Pastrnak running into the goalie, Antti Raanta, as he's trying to clear. Raanta is down, and unfortunately, he would not get up. Removing the helmet. Take another look there. Raanta losing his balance, helped off the ice. He would not return. Then more chippiness here. This is Hampus Lindholm bringing it around, and from behind, here comes Andrei Svechnikov from nowhere, and he just rocks his world. The teammates immediately start going at it. Lindholm, as you could see, had no idea it was coming. He's helped off. Result is a Hurricanes power play. Shortly thereafter, the Hurricanes have a two-man advantage, and there's a loose puck in front of the net, and it's Nino Niederreiter who is in the right place at the right time, and he's got the right result there. He's the last one to touch it. He pokes it home, and the Hurricanes, on a chippy night, take game two. The score, 5-2. As we continue, he is living on the edge. Is this superstar's volatility on the verge of costing his team another title? We'll talk about it. Plus, the Sixers are two losses away from an enormous decision about James Harden's future. What should they do with their struggling star? We're going to ask those questions to the great Jalen Rose. But first, we're going to ask him this one. Here we go, Jay. Hembo's ready for you. James Harden averaged 30 points a game in 2018, 19, and 20. Who had been the last player to do it in three consecutive seasons? That's the question. The answer is next with Jalen on Get Up ESPN.
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
Start your mornings with Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max every weekday at 6 a.m. Eastern. They answer the pressing questions around the sports world.
Let's talk about Steph's legacy.
They're going to probably draft an explosive guy.
And deliver their hot takes on breaking news and new developments.
The Lakers are one of the worst jobs in the NBA.
Tune in every weekday at 6 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and ESPN2.
The one, the only, Jalen Rose is back and better than ever.
Yes, yes.
I don't think I've ever said this before, but I think he's going to get this trivia question right.
Okay. Yes.
James Harden is the last guy in the NBA to average 30 points a game three consecutive seasons. Who was the last guy to do it before he did it?
You're an amazing professional, and you did something with symmetry that you don't even realize you did.
Okay.
The first time you used the term answer.
Okay.
This time you didn't, because you figured when I circled three, I might know that the guy who averaged 30 points three consecutive years, I played against him all of those years, is Allen Iverson.
No, that's not right. It's Michael Jordan. It's Michael Jordan.
Michael Jordan.
Michael Jordan.
Hey, I didn't average 30 for three straight years.
In three consecutive
years. Wow.
Jordan did it in seven consecutive years.
At least I made it sound good. You know what I mean?
That was.
Hey, I didn't do that.
Am I the only one?
Is that right? Is that right?
Okay. I didn't know what you were doing with the circling of it. Now I understand it.
I was dead wrong.
Okay. Yes, you were dead wrong. All right. Well, at least, you know what? Very on brand. Let's get back to the highlights of last night. We got James Harden, and we got the Heat, and they are struggling. Seth Greenberg is with us as well today. Jalen, come on over here. Because James Harden, they just can't find room for him, and he can't find it for himself, Jalen.
And the one thing about James Harden, Greeny, that truly disappoints me is his lack of aggression. More so than his lack of production.
Now you see him here. He wound up 6 for 15 on the night, 20 points, and then long rebounds lead to outlet opportunities. The Heat's defense is good, and when they get in transition, they're almost unbeatable, certainly with this matchup. 22 points for Butler. Adebayo throwing that one down. He had 23, and then it's Butler again, this time on the other end of the alley-oop. So the Heat take the series lead 2-0. The Sixers are 0-13 in franchise history. They're down love too. James Harden, now what?
Things just didn't go our way as much as we needed it to, but for the most part, I mean, we're still a confident group and we're going to go home and do what we're supposed to do. You know, like in the playoffs, the series doesn't start till, you know, the road team wins. And we didn't get one, you know, out of the first two, but go home and take care of business and we'll be back here for game five.
Well, look, if they're going to even get back to Game 5, they're going to need more from James Harden in Games 3 and certainly one of those in Games 3 or 4. It's 12 consecutive games now in the playoffs where he's under 25 points. He averaged 28 in the playoffs with Houston. The numbers have dropped since then. And so Jalen and, again, Seth is with us all morning long. I want to have two separate Harden conversations.
Okay.
Let's start in the small picture, and then we'll go big picture. Small picture, what can he do? Doc sounds very pessimistic that they're going to get Embiid back tomorrow night. What can Harden do to put this team on
Greeny, his back? I know we want to see a long series, but I don't believe that's going to happen.
Right.
I thought if Joel Embiid was playing, it would be a 6-game series. Without Joel Embiid playing, this should be a 5-game series. And I want to dispel one of the dumbest cliches I hear in playoff basketball.
Yeah.
That a series doesn't start until the road team wins again.
Yeah.
The series has already started. Don't you know that? Y'all down 0-2. What do you mean? The series has definitely started.
Yeah. This series may have ended, candidly, much less started. But look, and I asked you this question earlier, Seth, in the same way. You're a coach. Coach isn't going to give up. I mean, Doc Rivers is going to say, all right, we're going to do this, 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 and this. What are those things?
Well, they're going to have to go small some and spread the court. They're going to have to change defense and try to find a way to keep the Heat off balance for some semblance. Here's the thing. Even if they go small, they don't have a bunch of shot makers. And James Harden, and I understand the aggression thing, Jalen, but James Harden isn't that guy anymore. You know what?
Correct.
Tyrese Maxey might be. James Harden isn't. He can be more aggressive. He can't finish at the rim. And every shot he shoots off of those step backs is a different shot because he doesn't have his feet underneath him. So I think that you got to change defenses. You got to do some things to junk the game up. But this is not a good
– Well, you bring up exactly the point I wanted to get to next to you, which is big picture, Jalen.
Mm-hmm.
And you know that we'll be talking about this on NBA Countdown a lot. And that is, whenever this season ends for the Sixers, both Harden and the organization have big decisions ahead of them.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess my question to you is, do you expect the Sixers – one way or another, to max out Harden and sort of hitch their wagon to him for the foreseeable future?
I don't believe they will.
I can't.
And I know people are going to think that's surprising based on the fact they did everything they could to wait for their guy, and they ultimately got their guy. But you don't do like the Lakers did with Russell Westbrook and double down on a bad decision.
Mm.
And here's why. As an athlete, there are different phases of reinvention. The same thing with a public figure. So you see people that have been famous for a really long time, they reinvent themselves. And as a player, like a Tom Brady, you can become a classic or like a Chris Paul, like a vehicle almost. And so for James Harden, if you look at his Carfax, he's breaking down. He ain't that same player. Chris Paul is a classic car. He's a used car. And let me tell you the difference. The difference is, when you ask me, should I give him a max deal? Luka, yes. Ja, yes. Why? Because my team's going to win because I got him.
Mm.
This team can't win because they got him. That's why I say no.
And you're 100% right, and I love the analogy. But you and I also both know that people in the NBA, front office people, are very hesitant to admit mistakes. And so, you know, giving up everything they gave, the big asset, getting Harden, it would be quite the admission of a mistake if they just kind of let him walk out the door here. Plus, they have the built-in excuse. Well, if Joel had been healthy, who knows what we might have done? Does that change anything?
It doesn't, because Joel didn't seem very happy with his lack of aggression either.
Yeah.
He talked about it. And by the way, I could find a lot of people to give $200 million to.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? Sure. There would be enough. They wouldn't lose him for nothing. They would trade him to another team and try to get value in return.
But who's going
to
pay him $200,000?
$200 million.
$200 million.
$200,000 is more.
In the shape that he's in, at the age that he's in, the way he defines his game. Mm-hmm. Is that winning playoff basketball?
No. He's still a productive player. He's still an all-star level player. Ooh. On a good team. He's not an all-NBA, MVP caliber player anymore.
Can you get to the finals?
And you know that right now.
Can you get to the finals with him being ball dominant, with his inability to shape he's in, inability to get downhill, inability to draw two, inability to shoot the way he used to
shoot? Where's Jalen going?
I got to hug my guy.
He's hugging Seth now. I've missed this.
Did you say get to the finals?
Yeah. Like, if Embiid is healthy.
They might not get back to downtown Miami.
No, I get it.
What do you mean?
I'm talking about big picture.
Oh,
if Embiid was healthy. I'm asking you right
picture. Okay.
With
moving
Embiid,
forward.
Could they? Okay. If Embiid is healthy.
No, yeah. Because the East got better. Just look at what happened with the process. They saw teams pass them. Toronto went past them and won the championship. Milwaukee went past them and won the championship.
Right.
Miami won the East. The Celtics are better. The Nets will be better. No, this team ain't positioned to go to the finals.
So that is going to be the
end of
most
conversation. And you're not paying him the money. He's betting on himself, and he's trying to see
but
what he
can
do.
But teams do that, though. You know, I mean, teams do think. Teams, if there's one thing I've learned in covering sports as long as I have, the number of times they do things that make no sense whatsoever is a very high number. I would, if I had to bet on it right now, I would bet they still will do it.
And I want to give everyone a fork in the road. Of course, Daryl Morey wants to give him the money.
Right.
Yeah.
But it ain't his money.
That's true.
He got to go to the owner and convince the owner while in 4 or 5 years we're going to be giving that player $55 million a year.
That's a really
good
point.
How old is he right now?
What, 32?
All right. How old is his body?
38. That's what I mean by Chris Paul is a classic, because he's 36.
In the meantime, I want to go to another series, Jalen, while I have you here, because Warriors-Grizzlies has been awesome, and it's been chippy. It started Sunday when Draymond Green was ejected for the hard foul on Brandon Clark towards the end of the first half. So he goes out, and you saw the way he left and all the rest of that, and then whether these were connected to each other or not, we then see just 3 minutes into game two, Dylan Brooks with the flagrant two after he fouls Gary Payton in the second hard on the layup. Unfortunately, Payton has a fractured elbow. He'll miss a month. We'll see if Brooks winds up being further suspended. And then just 14 seconds later, you saw Draymond involved again, took the elbow to the eye. He raised a couple of fingers at the crowd as he was leaving, and that one didn't look like it was accidental. But I guess there are a bunch of questions to be asked about this one. I'll just start with the most general, because it has been scintillating to watch. Who has the advantage in that series headed back to San Francisco?
I want to say the Golden State Warriors have the edge, even though they don't have Gary Payton II, because they stole one on the road, in particular how they stole game one. That was Memphis' game to take.
Yeah.
And when you lose that game, as Draymond gets ejected, you have some calls go against you. Gary Payton II got a late offensive rebound for a free throw. They didn't foul after a possession when they should have let 10 seconds go off the clock. Klay Thompson missed two free throws. These are all uncharacteristic things that took place, and they still lost. So it was great they came back and responded in game two, and Ja Morant was terrific. But if I had to say who's in pole position, I would say the Warriors. But.
Yeah.
Klay's wheels ain't the same. And rightfully so. He just came back from two major injuries.
Yes.
And he was really laboring defensively. When you look at the Ja Morant clips, they were around Klay Thompson, a lot of them. I think he plays better when they get home.
The number at the bottom of your screen I'm seeing for the first time. I did not know that until they just put that up there, that our analytics still favor Memphis despite the fact that Golden State got the split on the road. And it makes me want to ask another question. Steph Curry plays for the Warriors. Mm. He's on a short list of one of the greatest players of all time. But is Ja Morant the best player in this series?
He's the most important player in this series. He's the guy, the one player that can literally just flat out take over a game for his team. Steph's got help. Ja Morant, you can talk about all the things, you know, when he didn't play during the regular season, you know, the Grizzlies won.
19
that's great.
And two,
yeah, that's great. That's in the regular season. The playoffs are a different animal. Huh? In the playoffs, Ja Morant, what he can do is different than anyone else on the floor, including Steph, because, look, we know what Steph can do. Ja Morant gets to the rim, gets to the rim, gets to the rim, gets to the rim. You know he's getting to the rim. He is the most important player in this series. And I'll tell you the other thing. You'd love this because it's your generation. These dudes in Memphis, they play like old school dudes.
Absolutely.
Right? They play with a chip on their shoulder. Yes. Like, I love Ja talking a little smack walking up the court. I knew you did. I mean, I could have seen Jalen just doing the same thing.
But that brings up a question. In your era, a 6'1", 170-pound guy is not going in the painted area, leaving his feet on every single possession and not paying any kind of price. Will that change as the series goes forward?
That's not going to change as this series goes forward, because in today's game, physicality really doesn't exist to intimidate an offensive weapon.
Okay.
That's your point.
Yeah.
Because usually a guy that size isn't always able to get to the rim and actually finish. And he did something that's an improvement that I want young players to pay attention to. He made the game-winning layup with his left one time. He missed the game-winning layup with his left one time. And I literally said to you, you got to add that floater.
Mm-hmm.
He got to add that floater. And then the next game, that's what he shot less. He shot and made it. But let me answer you. Yes, he's the best player in this series. And for everybody that gets confused, think about your MVP ballot. Was Steph Curry on there?
No.
Okay.
But Ja was.
Exactly.
And he was second team.
It's not a lifetime achievement.
Yeah.
He's having a better season. That's why when people retroactively look back at the NBA and say how many MVPs a certain player had, I got to remind them it's about the performance of that season. Ja's been the most important and better player than Steph Curry this season.
He has MVP written all over him, right? Ooh, he's going to be the MVP of this league someday.
Yes.
He's 22. He's 22 years
22.
Old, Ja Morant is.
And he feels it. I mean, like, he knows it right now.
Yeah.
Like right now he's walking around going, you know what? Take a look at me, because I am the dude right now.
So I have to make sure I stress this, because they're going to miss Gary Payton a lot, and I think the Splash Brothers and Draymond are going to recover at home, and Jordan Poole has been outstanding in this year's playoffs. I want you guys to appreciate and marvel these high-flying dudes that be jumping in the air, jumping over 6'7", 6'8", 6'9", people, and dunking the ball.
Yeah.
Because that floor is hard.
Yeah.
I say this all of the time. You saw Dwayne Wade, you see Ja Morant, you saw Gary Payton II. And what happened on the play with Gary Payton II, Dylan Brooks didn't wake up choosing violence. He didn't think he was going to hurt him that day. He saw him going for that dunk that we remember him having in game one.
Mm-hmm.
And he like, I can't let him do that. He tried to go whack his arm, hit his head, definitely deserves a flagrant, and definitely deserves to be disciplined.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a difference between a reckless play and a dirty player. He made a reckless play. He's not a dirty player. I don't think anyone is suggesting he's, even Steve Kerr isn't saying he's a dirty player, but it was obviously a terrible result, and it could have a lot of impact. All right, Jalen, stay close with me, because I want to do more with you, and also take a bunch of vitamins, because we got a busy weekend ahead.
The playoffs
are rolling on. We'll be here tomorrow night and Saturday and Sunday. Our game threes tomorrow night, Heat Sixers. That's basically Philly season on the line at 7 Eastern, followed by the Suns and Mavs. Dallas goes home. Will Luka get any help? We will start the night with NBA Countdown, 6:30 Eastern tomorrow night here on ESPN, and we'll be here all weekend long. Meanwhile, next, Jalen, I want you to react to what Stephen – did everyone hear what Stephen A. said on First Take about LeBron and the Lakers and the future? If you haven't, you're going to be stunned, and Jalen's going to react next. Get up on ESPN.
Get on up.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
All right, back on Get Up with Jalen Rose here with us. The Lakers and LeBron James had what can only be described as a disastrous season, missing out even on the play-in tournament. But did you hear what Stephen A. said on First Take yesterday about what L.A. should consider doing next? Listen to this.
I want to announce to the American public that I think the Los Angeles Lakers should strongly consider trading LeBron James. The Los Angeles Lakers, as presently constructed, are going nowhere. He's the only person that has extreme value. You the Lakers, where you going? You got nothing.
So that was yesterday, and we have, of course, spent the entire season with Stephen A. on NBA Countdown. That's one of those where he's like, bring my camera over here.
exactly.
So, okay, does it make sense?
You can't do that if you're the Lakers, because even though the Lakers aren't championship contention worthy, you're still a box office face of the franchise player in LA. You can't be trading LeBron James. That's almost like trading Kobe Bryant in the years that they didn't make the playoffs.
Kobe Bryant's a lifetime Laker. You were never going to trade him because he was always going to be associated. LeBron is a hired gun, and it might be in his and their best interest.
So you're highlighting the second thing I want to say. If that's the case, so is Anthony Davis. And that's the guy you need to actually be trying to trade, not LeBron James. He needs a secondary best player that's going to supplement the times that he's going to miss games. At this point in his career, hopefully he plays 60, 65 games.
LeBron you're talking about.
LeBron, exactly. Yeah. But the problem is, that's AD also.
Right.
That's truly the Lakers' problem. The AD can't stay healthy during the regular season and carry it until LeBron gets ready
for
the
playoffs. So what you're saying is try and trade Anthony Davis and build a championship around LeBron.
Yes.
And what Stephen A. is saying is trade LeBron and basically admit you're starting from scratch.
This is why you can't do that. If you're trading LeBron, that means you're going to build around Anthony Davis now?
Well, or trade them both. Let me ask you a question.
Yes,
in that Western Conference where Ja is on the rise and the Warriors are only going to get better as they get Wiseman, some of these and some of these other teams. Is there anything they can do to build around LeBron next year that makes them a legit contender?
No, but here's a news flash for everybody that's paid attention to great players. They don't have to be the favorites every year. I think what has happened is when we start seeing MVP level players like LeBron and KD change teams, it warped the viewers to thinking he should not want to be out or want to quit when his team ain't the favorite. The Lakers and the Nets were the favorites this season.
Right.
This season.
Yes.
So you can't tell me if AD's not healthy and LeBron's not healthy the way he played, they still will be a high playoff team potentially, and they'll still have a chance to advance.
See, that, I mean, he's going to be, 38 years old at some point.
Definitely.
So he doesn't have time. It's now or never. I think I generally agree with you, but I understand Stephen A.'s point. We'll talk about it on Countdown. See you tomorrow night.
Yes, indeed. I love you too, my brother.
Okay, back to football here before we wrap up for the day. We got to get to the 49ers. The Deebo Samuel situation remains unresolved after he requested a trade before the draft. Now, he was a second-round pick in 2019, and thus, he's entering the final year of his rookie contract. He's going to pay him just under $4 million. And so the question is, now that the draft has come and gone, are those conversations over? I've got Canty, I've got Teddy Bruschi, and for the conversation here, let me start with Kimberly Martin. Kmart, you know, that was hot and heavy, and then the draft comes and goes, and we sort of let it go. Where do we stand right now with Deebo and the 49ers?
Greeny, great news. Deebo Samuels has finally followed the San Francisco 49ers again on Instagram. This is big. This is big, guys, because this is where these players make their feelings known, on social media. That is how they let you know that the relationship is over or we're back on. And right now, this is a step in the right direction.
I love it. All right, Teddy, we don't know what's going to happen with Deebo. But let me just get a quick thought from you, if I can, knowing you as I do, about the way this stuff tends to go these days, the whole scrubbing from social media and all of that. Suddenly the NFL has become overrun with junior high school level behavior. What is your general take on all that?
Yeah, I guess that's the form of business, you know, saying business in quotation marks, what it is now. I mean, how a player feels. But there comes a time where in every player's career, you got to start playing hardball. And Deebo has every right because he was first team all pro last year, one of the best receivers in the game. So for him to fight for a contract is warranted. But it's also on the other side for the San Francisco 49ers. I say, you don't trade this guy. I mean, there's no reason to fall into his demands either. Hopefully you get a contract worked out for him, but you keep him on your team because the partnership of Kyle Shanahan and with the way that he uses Deebo Samuel is unique. It's very Tyreek Hill with Andy Reid in the Chiefs-esque. I mean, that's how special it is. You don't eliminate that.
And so I guess that does beg the question, Canty, where does it go from here? Is he that same guy somewhere else? How do you see this thing playing out, Deebo and the Niners, and what does it mean?
Well, Kimberly Martin just broke the news. The fact that he followed the Niners on social media means that they could be one step closer to mending fences. And Greeny, I'll say this, there ain't too many things in this world that a bag of money can't fix. And A.J. Brown getting that deal done at the draft now sets the parameters for a Deebo Samuel contract extension. He's going to be somewhere between A.J. Brown, which is the low end, and Tyreek Hill, which is the high end. And there's no way that Deebo turns down that kind of money. I don't know that San Francisco was there at the beginning of the offseason, but Deebo taking a stance that he didn't want to be there certainly changed their mind.
Kmart, give me a quick final thought. There are not too many things a bag of money can't fix. I like that.
Oh, well, we all can agree on that. So John Lynch, here's what we need to know about John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan. They know how to manage personalities. And from the beginning, they made it clear to other teams and to Deebo, we want to make this work. And that's what they've said publicly. And I think we might start seeing them inch closer to that resolution, Greeny.
All right. I am following all of you on every form of social media that is available because of my appreciation. All right. First Take is coming up top of the hour here. Is the series between the Heat and the Sixers already over, regardless of what happens with Joel? We got Molly, we got Stephen A., we got Brian Windhorst and more coming up top of the hour here on ESPN.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
All right, we got sports mayhem in this month of May, including the NHL playoffs Saturday afternoon. They continue. The NBA is on ABC on Saturday night. Also Saturday night, UFC 274 on ESPN Plus pay-per-view. And then Sunday afternoon on ABC, Formula One, the first ever Miami Grand Prix. So a little something for everyone. Hey, Chris Canty, before we wrap it up for today, you're a big, strong guy. But I ask you, could you do this?
Probably not, G. And this reminds me of the stories you used to hear about Hall of Fame left tackle Walter Jones. In the offseason, he would push his Escalade up and down the street as his conditioning. But we all know that Walter Jones was doing it for a check. What I'm asking with this situation is, for who and for what? Why are you doing this? Why are you squatting your car in a parking lot? Make it make sense. Is that somebody else's car? Did they take your parking spot and you're moving their car? I just don't understand what's happening right now.
Have a wonderful day. We'll see you back in Better Than Ever. First Take starts now.